All right, welcome to the Free Stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com. I am Bobby Fenton, Week 7 edition of the show. And not quite where we thought we'd be going into Week 7, as the Bucks are a 500 football team right now, 3-3, as they head up to Charlotte to take on the Carolina Panthers. And coming off of a loss to the previously one-win Pittsburgh Steelers. Now they're 2-4, 20-18 the score on Sunday. In a game that honestly, in hindsight, isn't as shocking, I don't think, as maybe it would have seemed beforehand. Although we told you on this show last week, man, you got to look at the betting trends, okay? Because they'll tell you things. And I don't care who's better at what, or you know what team looks this, or who's out and who's in, you know, members of the secondary. I told you, didn't I? Teams coming off of like a 21-plus point loss, playing at home the next week. I can't remember the exact trend it was, but like historically in the NFL, teams that were in the Steelers situation coming off a huge loss, it's a bounce back, it happens a ton, and those teams are like 75% against the spread, you know, in the next game. So we knew that. Now, that's against the spread. Bucks could still have won the game. Nobody said they had to win the game by 10 points, and they had a chance to win the game, and they didn't get it done. And even after the offense didn't get it done, they had a chance to get the ball back and try again, and this time the defense didn't get it done. Stunning third down conversions, and I'm talking about thirds and long. And it wasn't just on the final drive, although there were a couple there. It was all game long. In fact, the Steelers, who came into that game, by the way, number 22 of 32 teams in the NFL on third down, converted 7 third down conversions of 6 yards or more. And there was another one that was third and 11 that they turned into fourth and inches, so it doesn't count as a third down conversion, and yet they did pick up the first down on the next play and went on to score. Just mind-boggling. And listen, the Bucs defense gave up 20 points. So you're never going to complain, or at least you shouldn't, in this day and age of the NFL especially. You know, maybe back in the early 90s, or in the late 90s, early 2000s, that old Bucs defense, that 20 points might have been too much with that offense they had. But in this day and age, with our offense, if you told me 17 times in a row the Bucs defense is going to allow 20 points, I'd take it and feel like the Bucs should be able to go 12-5, 13-4, something like that. But that doesn't mean they played well. I mean, the 20 points is what it is, but no defense that I know on this team, as good as they're supposed to be, would allow those third down conversions and the breakdowns they had and things like that. And yet, even in spite of all that, of course, what we all have on our minds right now is the offense, because we all salivated last week, right? Oh my God, Pittsburgh's got 3 of their top 4 guys in the secondary out. It's going to be a chance for Brady to feast. And plus, no more injuries for the big boys are back. Mike Evans is there. Chris Godwin's there. We got everybody going. Oh man, this is going to be awesome. Chow down. They targeted Mike Evans 4 times. Godwin got a little bit going as the game went on. He had an okay day. They ran on 15 of their 22 first downs before the final drive. The final drive doesn't count because then they have to throw. But in any normal situation, 22 first down plays they ran. They ran 15 times. I don't know. Out in the system, you know, whether it's Twitter or whether it's whatever else, sports talk radio, these podcasts, anything that you listen to, there's all these theories out in the system. I know, obviously, the offensive line play hasn't been up to snuff, particularly left guard, and I'm not going to just jump all over Gedeky today. It doesn't accomplish anything. He's a rookie. He's young. You know, it's tough. And I'm not saying it's okay because he had some bad looks there, but that's not a scapegoat, okay? And it's more than that. This team, I've been saying this all year long, and they got a little better against Atlanta as far as just their intent. I'm not even talking about the execution, although that's a whole other thing. But their intent, they threw the ball more, they were a little more aggressive, and then they kind of slowed it down after they got a big lead. But it seemed like they were kind of on the rise. It seemed like things were trending in the right direction, and they went right back to their old habits on Sunday, where it's, hey, Pittsburgh's not very good. Let's see if we can beat them 16-10. You know, like, let's see what the lowest amount of points we can score is and still win. Let's try and do that. It's dungy ball. The Bucs are playing dungy ball. And, you know, you might say, well, Byron Leftwich is still the coordinator. I know, you know, there's a new head coach, but nothing's really different on the offensive side of the ball. Folks, it all flows down from the top. And I'm not saying that Todd Bowles is sitting there in offensive meetings saying directly to Byron Leftwich, I want you to run the ball more and I don't care about yards. I just want to establish the run. He's not literally saying those things, but you can clearly tell philosophically how different this team is under Bruce Arians and how or was under Bruce Arians and how it is now. Okay. And there's not just, it's not just Bruce Arians to Todd Bowles. Okay. There's injuries that they didn't have, retirements they didn't have. They're missing personnel. They're not as strong up front. All those things are true. You don't have to pick one thing and say, okay, we've determined this is the problem. It can be many things. But there is clearly a philosophical difference in the way things are being done now under Todd Bowles. And they are crippling themselves. I understand the line's not the same. I understand they're missing guys like Gronkowski. I understand Antonio Brown himself. It's, you know, they didn't have him toward the end of last year either. But overall, they've had him the past couple of years. They don't now. There's a lot of things different. I get it, okay? But you have to simply, I don't know how else to say this, and these guys have all learned and know and have forgotten more about football than I'll ever know in my life. It's why I'm always hesitant to criticize the real meat and potatoes, X's and O's stuff. As any radio or TV show, media member, host, talk show, whatever, we should all be that way, okay? Because these guys, you know, they know what they're doing. And we're not football guys. I mean, I've coached high school football for a couple seasons. That's it. So with that said, though, like, from where I am sitting, the Bucs are not trying hard enough to score points. Does it not feel that way? I mean, I don't think that's armchair quarterback. They are not trying hard enough to score points. They need to try harder to score points. Just score points. Not hold on to the ball. Not get first down. Score points. They're not trying hard enough. And they had some red zone. Red zone's a big part of it. Red zone failures will absolutely kill you. And if you end up kicking field goals down there instead of scoring touchdowns, and I know they're trying then, but, you know, like they had the one, and I tweeted about it. It's been all over Twitter. When they handed it off to Fournette down there inside the five, and he bounces it out to the left instead of going right, and then there's a tackler right there to just swallow him up because Gedeke completely whiffed on his block. And, you know, that's obviously Gedeke's fault. I get Leonard Fournette seeing clutter on one side of the play and seeing daylight on the other side and cutting it back to that. But if he just goes hard, I mean, he's a big, strong dude. If he just goes hard behind his guys, because even though there was clutter, they had push. If he just goes behind them, he scores. Of course, instincts, this is hindsight. We're making these, or he's making these decisions in hundredths of a second. All right. Yeah, Gedeke just completely whiffs. You don't expect that. End up kicking a field goal. They had four of them. That's why they're down 20-12 late in the going, instead of it being even 20-16, let alone 20-20 or something like that. It, you know, every touchdown that you lose out on and you kick a field goal instead, that's 4 points. And the Bucs did it four times. And then this is how you get, and the same thing happened against Green Bay, right? 14-6 instead of 14-10 or 14-14. 4 points every time. And then what happens? Oh, well, it's a one possession game. It might be a one-possession game technically, but it ain't a one-score game because you got to score twice. That two-point conversion is another score. And you can't just be like, oh, we're down eight. We're within one score. Nope. And those are – you might get it, you might not, but those are a coin flip at best. And that's if you get the touchdown to begin with. So I don't want to hear any more talk about, oh, we've got it to a one-score game. We're down eight. You got to score. You got to get the two. You got to get the ball back. You got to score again to win. Uh-uh. That I don't like those odds ever, and they've missed twice now on two-point conversions that would have tied a game and sent it to overtime, or likely sent it to overtime with the Green Bay game and now Pittsburgh. And both times, red zone failures were a big part of it. But Byron Leftwich, he seems very conservative. He seems loath to attack. I mean, when you've got a team, when you're running an offense, I mean, I would think as an offensive coordinator, your main objective is you want to attack. You're looking different ways every week. How do we attack this defense or that defense? Where are they weak? Where are they susceptible? Where are they unsound? Obviously, with Pittsburgh, the secondary was that place, and that's not even schematically. That's literally the secondary. They had all these guys not being able to play. And so I thought, and we all thought, they were going to attack that. The Bucs didn't attack it. I don't get that part. Like, that part I don't get. And, you know, Byron Leftwich isn't on this podcast right now to say his side of it, nor would he care what I'm saying. But you have to, in the NFL, in the game of football, just the NFL, you have to try to collect points aggressively, early, and efficiently. You can never just be like, okay, that's cool. We're going to just keep them at arm's length. We got ourselves a field goal. The main thing is to get some points. No, you need to amass points early and often, and that's how you win football games. And I thought the Bucs had gotten onto something when they got down to the Chiefs 21-3 a couple Sunday nights ago. It was like, okay. Hey, and then they started getting aggressive, and they came up short, but they moved the football. They scored points. And I was like, well, I hate to lose to the Chiefs. I hate to get down 21-3, but maybe they figured something out. Maybe some good can come out of it. And then in Atlanta, it did look like they maybe carried some of that over, but it was back to the same old deal here. And the Dungy Ball stuff ain't it, okay? It's not it. Now, the Bucs have lots of problems. And here's another one I've been hearing about. Let me address this real quick, okay? And Tom Brady hasn't been perfect, but I've been hearing a lot. People, Tom Brady's out there going to Robert Kraft's wedding on Friday night, the Patriots owner. He's leaving the team. He's missing meetings. And then he's out there chewing his offensive line out. You may have seen the footage on the Fox broadcast where they had the cameras right on Brady on the sideline and microphones were picking up him yelling at the offensive line. By the way, and I tweeted about this to what was it, Kevin Burkhardt, I think, who was doing the game? I can't remember who it was. And he's good. But Brady's over there. There's mics right nearby. He's dropping F-bombs and yelling at the offensive line at the top of his lungs. That is television gold. And Burkhardt is talking the whole time. Stop talking. I'm trying to listen to what Brady's saying. And he's just talking right over it. Stop. Stop. Literally, the entire three-hour broadcast, if we took every interesting thing that both of you guys said the entire broadcast, it would not amount to even being a tenth of as interesting as what I want to hear Brady say right now. Like, you realize that, right? Like, these announcers sometimes, I know, and then maybe they told him to talk on purpose because they didn't want to get F-bombs picked up on the broadcast. If so, I retract my statement. But man, that was good. Here's what I was able to make out. Brady's leaning in. I went ahead and translated. I had to layer the audio and use my sensory perception, audio sensory perception to pick this up. Brady says, quote, "You're so much better than the way you're effing playing." Then he says something else I couldn't pick up. "You're getting your effing ass kicked." Then he's mumbling more stuff. So, I mean, at least he started out with a compliment. And this is something we can all learn from. And I do this with my little leaguers, too, when I get really mad at them. I coach my son's team. And I've been yelling too much this year. I actually feel bad about it. I've been really intolerant of the mental mistakes. But that's kind of a backhanded compliment, right? Hey, you're so much better than you're playing. So you didn't just rip them and tell them they sucked. You told them they're better than this. I like it. And none of the linemen, or at least publicly, said they had a problem with it, nor should they. But a lot of people were like, yeah, how about Brady? Mr. Come and go as he pleases, sets his own hours, goes out of town 2 days before the game, doesn't come back to the day before the game, and then he's out there yelling at his linemen. Hey, let me tell you something right now, okay? And is it a little weird you went to Kraft's wedding? Sure. I don't know the nature of their friendship. You know, that going to a buddy's wedding, this obviously Tom Brady is not like you and me, but any people going to a buddy's wedding, you know, that's not just something you do for anybody. You got to be, I want to be tight with the guy if I'm going to do that, especially if I'm going to travel for it. Now, Tom Brady can travel the same way I go down the street to 7-Eleven. You know, he can go to New England. But, like, I even had a buddy get married in Boston. One of my closest buddies, I didn't go because it was in Boston. Like, if it had been in Tampa, I would have gone. He might be listening. He listens to the show too, Mike, buddy. It was a tough time too. It was in our 20s. We didn't have as much money. I couldn't make the trip. I feel bad about it to this day. But if he had gotten married in Tampa, I would have gone. But anyway, you know, if he and Kraft are really, really actually tight, and I know he was there a long time, knows him well, okay. But that's not even the point. The point is, and even besides the wedding thing, people have been saying this about Brady. Oh, he's not as dialed in. They're not getting his all. He's not doing everything he can. He doesn't have the intensity. Yeah, you're right. All right? He retired, and then he changed his mind and came back. And he decided to come back. And that's fine. Listen, you don't get to choose between 1,000% all-in Brady, 50% in Brady, or no Brady. The 1,000% Brady is off the table, okay? These are the conditions you get for him to play at all. And he's obviously got stuff going on in his personal life like we all do. And he could very easily have just shut it all down. So sitting here today, are you happier that he came back like this? Or do you wish he'd retired? Because those are your two choices. You don't get the third option. No, I wish he was Tom Brady of the last 20 years where the guy ate, slept, and breathed this stuff and he would do anything and nothing else mattered and he completely tuned out the outside world for 6 months straight and it was nothing but football, football. Yeah, we all want that Brady, sure. But that one wasn't coming back. We got him back at all, okay? Be grateful for that. Because I'm looking at Kyle Trask, wherever the hell he is. You know, I guess he's on the sideline. He's inactive half the damn time. Blaine Gabbert, there are no other options, okay? We're still relevant. We're 3-3. No one's where we thought we'd be. We want to be a little bit better, but we're still relevant, and we still have a chance to go to the playoffs. In fact, we're a favorite to go to the playoffs. I don't know what's going to happen beyond that, but Mr. Brady can do these things. And sure, I wish he was the old Tom Brady, where it was like in a million years he wouldn't even go back to his own house during game week, much less go to Boston for somebody's wedding. But that's not the choice. So I put it to you. Do you like it this way? Or did you like it? Remember those, what was it, 40 days? How long was it? Do you remember? I remember where I was. I was at Gasparilla with my kids and my wife, and we were standing there on Bayshore, and they were throwing beads, and I was scrolling my cell phone because there was murmuring going around the crowd. Brady just retired. You remember how you felt those first 5 minutes? Remember that. Think back to that, because I remember how I felt, and I was like, ah, man, that was fun while it lasted. Like, we were one of those teams. We were the penthouse crew. We were living with the beautiful people that we haven't gotten to do very often over the course of this franchise's history. And it felt like it all just went away in that moment, right? That's how it felt to me. And then when it became reported that he was coming back, the exact opposite feeling. It was like, oh my God, we actually get to stay here? Like, this is Shangri-La? You know, like, remember when George, if you watch Seinfeld, remember when George was wearing the wedding ring and all of a sudden everything turned around for him? Like, women were more attracted to him. He had supermodels, like, hitting on him and stuff. But he couldn't do anything about it because he had the ring on. And the minute he took the ring off, he went back to slumming it, okay? That's where we were. And now we're still here. Like, as far as the Bucks fandom goes, we're still staying in the 5-star hotel. We still walk in and there's warm cookies on the pillow in the room. All right? We're not back at the Motel 6 yet. But that's exactly where our asses would have been and where they will be again when he leaves. Because I don't see anything else on the quarterback horizon. I don't mean the entire organization's going to go to shambles. But I'm not arrogant enough as a Bucks fan to think, oh, well, once Brady leaves, we'll just keep it humming. We'll get somebody else. Who? So, yeah, okay, yes, maybe it is a little bit irksome that he's not around as much. Although, I know the plan was he was going to take Wednesdays off every Wednesday, and he hasn't even done it the past 3 weeks. He's been out there every Wednesday. And so, even if he did that, whatever the hell it takes that he's still the quarterback of the team, okay. You know? So, I know Ian Beckles, who I love, I know he and Joe posted about it on Joe Bucks Fan. Posted, you know, on his podcast, Ian said, you know, he called out Brady a little bit for making that trip. And I'm not saying Ian was wrong. I'm just saying, oh, well, you know, you can have it this way or you cannot have it at all. You don't get the 100% Brady anymore. He's 40 freaking five. We're lucky he's playing at all, let alone playing for us. And as long as he is, if he wants to do stuff like this, okay. But, like, let's keep our eyes on the ball here, okay? We've seen the Bucks before, the Super Bowl year 2 years ago, 2020, be kind of just mediocre. You know, when you win a Super Bowl, you forget how you got there a lot of times. You just remember the end. Champions, best team in the NFL. They were nothing near that most of that season. And they got their asses handed to them by Kansas City before the bye week. And they, what did they do? What did they do that year? They changed, right? They made adjustments. They got more aggressive offensively. They figured a lot of things out about what was going wrong. And they changed who they were. They reinvented, I don't want to say reinvented, but they tweaked some things with their philosophy offensively, and they never looked back. And the defense got better and better and better, okay? So I'm not saying that's what's going to happen now. I'm just saying nothing ever looks the way it does in week six, in week 17 or 18, or in the wild card divisional and championship rounds of the season. By then, it's a whole different ballgame, okay? So the Bucks have time, and they also have the luxury of being in a mediocre division. They're getting ready to go up and play Carolina on Sunday with P.J. Walker at quarterback. We'll talk about that in a little bit more time. But, I mean, they still have the luxury. Like, right now, 3-3, horrible loss to Pittsburgh. Who's the NFC South favorite by a long shot? The Bucks. All right? So let's keep that in perspective. And I'm not any, you know, less or more happy than you are about the game on Sunday. But man, I mean, you know, and things do need to change. Things absolutely need to change. I think they can. 15 to 22 runs on first down, though. That, for example, is one way. And this is another thing I tell my little leaguers. You know, there's, you always want to obviously be the biggest stud on the face of planet Earth and do everything perfectly, right? I mean, you want to hit a home run, you want to hit a double into the gap, you want to strike every kid out when you're pitching, okay? But those things all have somebody else involved, right? There's an opponent, and they're trying to stop you. When you're trying to hit, they're trying to strike you out. When you're trying to strike them out, they're trying to hit. So you're not always going to be successful. That's why I tell my 11, 12-year-old little leaguers, okay? Those things you don't have total control over. What you do have control over is your own process. Nobody can stop you when you're calling the play. That part's up to you. Nobody can stop you when a ground ball gets hit to you, I tell them, from getting in the set position, playing the ball between your feet, getting your glove down and playing it from the ground up. These are basics. Nobody can stop you in the batter's box from getting in the proper stance, from keeping your eye on the ball, from not pulling your head out when you swing. The other team doesn't control that. They might control certain things. They're throwing the ball hard. Sometimes you miss it. That part's not on you, but your process is on you. And the Bucks process right now is flawed, and they are hurting themselves. And that's what frustrates me the most, watching them. And I'm not sure why it's like that. Like I said, I don't think Todd Bowles is directly communicating to Byron Leftwich to try not as hard to score points. But I just think philosophically they think things work a certain way. And defensive coaches are like this. And, you know, that's what I miss the most about Bruce Arians right now. And Todd Bowles was asked about it. He was asked this week, you know, hey, are you going to, like, you know, lean on Bruce Arians a little bit and try and help have him help you out with some of this offensive stuff? And he said, well, you know, I'm paraphrasing. You can go to joebucksfan.com. There's articles and coverage of all of this there. He said, listen, you know, I'm not going to do that. I'm the head coach of the team. We'll figure it out. I mean, it's great having a resource like him, but, you know, it's my job to figure this out. And he kind of blew it off. He kind of was dismissive of the idea of leaning on Arians. And I get why he said that, but fine, you figure it out then, because this is dog bleep, okay? This offense can be so much better. Even with the line play, and Tom Brady, you know, of all quarterbacks, can work around that. He can get the ball out quick, and he can do the thing. We have the weapons. And you know how I know? Because in the flashes they've shown where they actually did look like they gave a damn about scoring touchdowns, they've actually done it. They've gone down the field. They've moved the ball. It doesn't feel like we can't do it. It doesn't feel like we're trying and we're just not connecting. You know, like when Jameis couldn't hit the deep ball, remember how frustrating that was, and he and Mike Evans couldn't get on the same page. This isn't an example of that. It feels like we're not really even attacking it. So I really sincerely hope they're sensing this and that they'll have an adjustment made similar to that of the Super Bowl season where they say, hey, you know, there's a better way. We are hurting ourselves. We can make ourselves better without even trying any harder, just doing it differently than we've been doing it. And I hope they make that adjustment. There are, besides the one bright spot I told you about how they're in a division that favors them, the other bright spot is the schedule. Not that Pittsburgh's a world beater, obviously, but that continues to look better. They don't have, as of we sitting here right now, I'm recording this on Thursday, early afternoon, not a single team with a winning record through 6 weeks. 3-3 is the best record they got left on their schedule. Not, obviously, like I've told you before, some of these teams will end up having winning records. They don't play bad teams, nothing but bad teams going forward, but they certainly don't play anybody who's like, ooh, I don't know if we can win that game. So at 3-3 with 11 games left, you know, you can go 8-3 in those games. And, you know, 11-6 may not be what you wanted, but that's easily playoff material, NFC South champion material. Maybe you're not getting the bye. But, again, you just got to get in there. And the Bucks have every reason to believe they should be able to do that. And even, what are you looking at right now? You're looking at Dallas is up there. Philadelphia, obviously, at 6-0 is the top team right now. Even Philadelphia, I don't think they're nearly as good as 6-0. And if they're the number one seed, I'm okay with that. But we're getting way ahead of ourselves right now. Right now, the Bucks have the Panthers. Sunday, 1 p.m. at Carolina. So like I said, P.J. Walker is your starting quarterback. This is a guy who played under Matt Rhule at Temple, and then Rhule brought him back. Now he's no longer the coach at Carolina. He got fired a couple weeks ago. But they have P.J. Walker after the injury, and, you know, Sam Darnold's not going to be back yet. So P.J. Walker last week against the Rams, okay? 10 for 16, 60 yards. Of those 10 completions, every single one was from 1 yard beyond the line of scrimmage and backward. He did not complete a single pass longer than 1 yard beyond the line of scrimmage. Where he actually hit the, I'm talking about where he threw the ball. There was some run after catch. But that's all they did was like quick screens and stuff like that. You know, throw to the flat. That's all they trust him to do. Ben McAdoo's the offensive coordinator. And of the 16 attempts, there was the six incompletions. Only four of those were even more than 5 yards down the field, okay? And they were all incomplete. That's what the Bucs are up against. So coming off of a loss, especially, and like I always say in the NFL, when things zig, then they zag the next week. When they yang the next week. Like, if I was in a survivor pool, and oh, I am, but I already used the Bucs, and I hadn't used the Bucs yet, I wouldn't even think twice. I mean, the Bucs should win. I don't care if it's on the road or whatever. Considering what they went through last week, considering the adjustments I expect them to make, considering where they should be mentally as a team now, and considering what Carolina presents, this should be a win, okay? And even, you know, with playing as poorly as they did on certain situations like the defense did, they still only gave up 20 points. It was really disheartening. Obviously, I know I say, oh, they're starting P.J. Walker. I scoff at that. Meanwhile, we got a rookie in Kenny Pickett. Then he gets hurt and they have to go to Trubisky. And it doesn't matter. They carve the Bucs up. Although, in fairness, the secondary looks pretty good. Jamel Dean, I want to mention him today. I haven't mentioned him yet. Jamel Dean is a stud right now. If you want to look for, you know, people on the Bucs who are better than they were before, who have actually improved, Jamel Dean is that guy. He's been playing at a Pro Bowl level, and Carlton Davis has been playing well too. And even the third down breakdowns they had, John Ledyard, I like reading his stuff. He wrote something on it. You know, if you go over the film, it was mainly linebackers getting beat or slot corners getting beat. Like Jamel Dean and Carlton Davis have been doing a pretty good job. Devin White needs to be better. He took the cheese. I mean, I know he likes to get in there and stick his nose in there on the rush, but he left the linebacker on the one opening Pittsburgh touchdown. It happened a few other times, and they need more out of Devin White. Like he gets too in love with going after the quarterback, and he forgets he's got to cover somebody sometimes. Vita Vea, I don't know what his deal is. One of the things we were looking for before the season started was Vita Vea, first of all, to play more because he wasn't really an every down guy before. He has actually played more to his credit, but he's been, I don't want to say invisible, but much less of an impact guy when he has been out there. So there's issues all over the place. And you know, everybody's saying, hey, it doesn't feel like this team has the nastiness it used to have. Sue brought that. I mean, if he was... I assume they know what they're doing. If he was that valuable, he'd still be here. Obviously, no other NFL team. I'm sure some have made overtures, but nothing has worked out there. Obviously, on the other side of the ball, there's Jensen, who there was the report earlier today, I think I saw, where the guy from OutKick, which I don't read, but I saw it on Twitter, reporting he could be back soon. He's the only one reporting that. Todd Bowles addressed it when he talked to the media earlier today, said he's still, you know, and Bowles doesn't give you anything. I'm not, that's fine. Bowles doesn't owe us anything, but... he doesn't give you much in these press conferences. And he said, oh, well, he's still limping. I don't know, blah, blah, blah. Doesn't seem like he's that close. Obviously, he knows more than he's letting on. But even if Jensen can come back at all this year, later in the year, that's great. It's not going to change in the immediate future. So the Bucs have a string of games. They're in the middle of a string of games right now. We hope they go 3-0. And if they win on Sunday, they go 2-1 in that string. Okay, fine. And then it gets to be a little bit different. You know, you get Baltimore coming in here on Thursday night. And just for no other reason, Thursday night football might be a little bit better with that Bucs-Ravens game, looking at the recent slate of Thursday night football. Although I gotta say, I'll take some Saints-Cardinals tonight. And I like the Cardinals in that one. I don't think the Saints have it right now with the injuries they have, and I feel like the Cardinals are due to play better. If you've got Amazon Prime Video, which I've been enjoying those telecasts, just to go off on another topic, but... it's going to happen again tonight because there's baseball on it, and there's been college football. Last week there was Baylor, West Virginia, which was a pretty good game. And it's really annoying. I've talked about this at length. When I want to go between two games and I can't just hit the last channel button on my cable remote, I got to go out of the Prime app. I got to go into my cable. Then if I want to switch back and forth, I can do it in less than like 10 seconds, but I can do the last channel button in less than 1 second. So it's very clunky. Especially when you're trying to go rapid fire. You know, it's one of those things. But I like the way the broadcasts themselves are presented. I like having there's different editions. You can do the StatCast one where it gives you the all 22 view, and you can watch the guys running their routes, and it's got the little tracer. All that stuff is fine. Just, you know, it'd be nice to have everything in one place, which is why cable still reigns supreme and why I'm still a subscriber and will continue to be. Email me if you want to, if you've got any thoughts on that or anything else. BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com. It's BobbyGameDay, BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com on Twitter. You can get me at BobbyGameDay. It's been a tough year for the NFL, honestly, I feel like. I mean, it's still awesome. The ratings are still huge. I'm still looking forward to football tonight, even though no other Thursday night game has given me a reason to. But it feels like nobody can score. And if you're an underbetter, that's cool. But, I mean, nobody can score points. It feels like 28 or so of the 32 teams have gotten worse. I mean, it only feels like a couple of teams have gotten better. Even the good games are boring. I mean, Buffalo-Kansas City was a pretty good game the other day. But even that one, you're expecting, oh my gosh, this high-flying offense. And it's just, for whatever reason this year, gotten harder for teams to score points. All the principles are still there. It's not like we've had a rash of quarterback injuries where a lot of these guys aren't playing. So I'm not sure what all of it is, but it hasn't been as exciting. And I don't mind a game being 24-20. Not every game's got to be, you know, 41-38 or something like that. It's just been a little bit, I would say, off so far. There's a lot of parity. You know, nobody's really stood out. And it doesn't matter. I mean, it's awesome. Like I said, I can't wait for tonight. And I keep every week, no matter how bad these, or excuse me, how bad these games are is the reason why they're saying it. But every week, when they get worse and worse and worse, people keep coming out of the woodwork, ripping Thursday night football and talking about how we shouldn't have it. Folks, and the stuff about player safety and rest and stuff, there are ways to amend that without taking away Thursday night football. But the worst NFL game you've ever seen, whether it's Colts, Broncos last week, or Commanders, Bears the other week, or whatever, you know, it's, would you rather have no football? Like, you gotta stop comparing it to better football games. I will take any game on a Thursday night, always. As of right now, I sit here on a Thursday, and there's a game tonight, like I said, Saints-Cardinals, and just by the very fact that there is a game tonight, I feel like I have plans tonight, and I don't, and I need to get a life, but just putting an NFL game on the schedule, hey, there's something going on tonight. Hey, the weekend has begun. It feels like the weekend starts on Thursday afternoon now, doesn't it? I mean, I don't get the complaints. If you wish the football was better, that's okay, but I don't get the complaints about its existence, and like I've told you before, they wanted to make more money. They wanted to add another week to the season. I would have kept the total number of games at 16 for each team. I would have simply added an 18th week. So you spread out the same number of games over more weeks. That's more money. One more primetime game on Thursday. One more primetime game on Sunday. One more primetime game on Monday. You also could have gotten out of it. Now you have two bye weeks instead of one for each team. So what can you do with that extra bye week? You can make it so that teams are almost always playing on Thursday on full rest instead of having to play on 4 days rest if you use that second bye week. So you can get, you can rig the schedule to where it'd be very rare that teams would be playing. Maybe, you know, it's hard making a schedule, but maybe every once in a while you'd have teams coming off of a Sunday game. But you could ensure that that happened very rarely with that second bye week. And then you've got your Thursday night football. And for that matter, Tuesday and Wednesday night too. Those nights suck right now. Put football on those. I know they got the Maction and the Sun Belt, Fun Belt stuff in college. That stuff's okay. But, you know, I've always said too much of a good thing kills it, so maybe it's a bad idea. But having an NFL game on any night is never a bad thing, in my opinion. So, like I said, email me if you want to, BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com. On Twitter, it's at BobbyGameDay. If you're looking for a vehicle, car, truck, van, brand new, pre-owned, whatever, Bill Curry Ford's got you covered. If you go to the website first, that's the way to do it. BillCurryFord.com. They spell it C-U-R-R-I-E. BillCurryFord.com. Check out the inventory. You can see the completely transparent, no-haggle online pricing. Take a look at everything. You hone in on a couple things you like. Go see him in person. A mile north of Raymond James Stadium, Dale Mabry Highway, right there just north of Hillsboro on the east side of the road. They've been serving the Tampa Bay area there for 60 years plus. No matter what you end up doing, if you buy a vehicle from there, you get the nationwide unlimited lifetime warranty. You never have to worry about engine trouble. Take it in, service center, boom, they'll fix you up. You are covered. You don't have to worry about any of that stuff. Plus, first year free oil changes, 10 years roadside assistance. It's all taken care of. So check them out, BillCurryFord.com. And if you go see them, again, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. So that's it for now. We're getting ready to go up to Carolina, see what the Bucks can do. I fully expect a better effort. Obviously, it's an outmanned opponent, and I would fully expect a win. In any case, hopefully we're back here next week talking about a 4-3 football team. I would encourage, just like I said, I know everybody's upset. I'm upset. That was a really bad loss last week. It's really early in the going right now, and we know from experience that these things change over the course of a season. Adjustments get made. Who the Bucks are now isn't necessarily who they're going to be later in the season. So with that in mind, thanks to all of you for listening. Thanks to the Joes for giving me this platform, JoeBucksFan.com, the single best place anywhere for Bucks coverage, TV, internet, or radio. Thanks to our good friends at Bill Curry Ford, and most of all, thanks to you for listening. Have a great weekend. Be safe. Have fun. Use the game as an excuse to get together with friends and watch it together. But whatever you do and wherever you are, good morning, good afternoon, good night, and go Bucks. Stay so lonely now.